This is Coast Community Radio. Whoa! Starting right off with a bang. But we're going to hold on to that because it is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook here today, Friday. First show of the year, Friday the 3rd of January, with a beautiful day. 55 degrees, a little bit of rain here and there, a little bit of wind, could reach 40 miles per hour, low around 40 this evening, so we're in good shape. Tomorrow, probably around 45, and Sunday, 50, with, of course, rain coming and going the whole time. Happy New Year to everyone. Happy, thoughtful activist New Year for us all. It's time for Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, your host. And thank you to whoever put me in the paper. That was fun. It is still holiday time in many traditions. Margarita, of course, did a fabulous Sonidos Latinos last night. And brings you up to date on what's happening with Christmas in other parts, especially the Latin world. Check that out if you like. Go to coastradio.org, listen, archive, and find the date, and you can listen to the whole show. That goes for any of our shows, especially the music shows, for 2 weeks after broadcast. Right now, I want to play something for Kwanzaa with a thanks to Margaret. Kwanzaa, Lynette Washington from 2002, long, long ago. A jazz celebration. Again, thank you, Margaret Frimuth. And thank you for being here. We have treats galore. And I'm going to start off with my first treat for everybody, a dance concert. Yes, yes, yes. I am so looking forward to more dance in our community. I'm one of the people. We do have some fabulous dancers, and I'm sure my guest would agree, and that would be Julia Gingrich. Welcome, Julia.
Hi.
And you've been on the radio before.
I have.
Yeah, I posted you, actually.
Yes.
But this time you are doing something very exciting. You have a debut performance of the Sparrow Dance Company. Is that a brand new company?
Brand new company. We got our nonprofit standing in October, but we have been established as a group for a year.
Okay, and is it mostly locals?
We're all locals from the North Coast. We didn't originate here. We're from all over the U.S.
Right.
But we all live here currently.
But I was looking at the various choreographers that you've got happening next week, and they're from all over the place. So
yes.
I'm going to let you tell us that.
Yes.
Let's just give the logistics. This is January 10th and 11th, which is next Saturday and Sunday. Is that
Friday night?
Friday
and Saturday night.
See, that calendar is not big enough. Okay, Friday and Saturday night at the 1015 Theater, which is conveniently located at 1015 Commercial, formerly the home of Peer Pressure Productions. And the show is 7:15. So you've got two nights to see this in a beautiful black box theater. 10 pieces of modern dance. Julia, what is happening? What are you doing?
Yeah, so each of the 10 pieces is its own entity. We're not telling a story with among the 10 pieces.
Okay.
They're all different. And we did have two guest choreographers. One, Kimberly Miguel Mullen, who travels all over the world as a Afro-Caribbean instructor.
Oh.
And she's world known.
Okay.
But and she is located mainly in California. And then we also had Valerie Grudier, who's from Portland, and we did a piece that was hers that we set, which was an original work about 15 years ago.
She
choreographed it 15 years ago, and I asked permission for us to do it again.
Okay, so you give me a little background there.
Yeah. So I
who are you, Julia?
I know. I've been all over the place. So I met Valerie. We danced together in a company 15 years ago. So this is the second time I've ever danced this piece. And it was near and dear to my heart. So I reached out to her and said, I would really like to do this piece again. And may I have permission? And may we compensate you to have the rights, essentially, to do this
good
piece again.
Good for you. Right.
And
nice.
She said, yeah. So we're thrilled to have.
Where were you dancing before? Where were you living and dancing?
Oh, yes, that's a deep question. All over Oregon. I spent time in Eugene. I spent time in Hood River, in Portland, in Arizona, in Houston.
I love this. All over Oregon in Arizona.
Well, you know, I did the Oregon part first, but the big...
Are you from Oregon?
I'm from Aurora, Oregon, which
okay.
is a small town.
Right, but then you spread your wings, and now you're back, and you've settled here in Astoria.
I'm settled. Knock on wood. I don't want to move anymore.
Okay. Well, lucky us. That's wonderful. Yeah. And how long have you been here?
5 years.
Was there something special that brought you here? Did you know that there was a dance community or community?
No, family circumstances and my husband's job. And he's in the fish world, and there's lots of that here. So we landed here, and I was just over the moon at how much arts is here.
Yeah. But that's funny because When I got your email, I thought it was a typo, and I asked you, and you said, no. So this husband you mentioned who's in the, unless you have two husbands,
no.
This husband who's in the fish business is also in the music business.
Yes.
And his name, and folks remember him, we're talking to Julia Gingrich, and the tenor player, her husband, is Julian Gingrich. I can't imagine how you get through life with that. As I say, I thought it was a typo. I wrote to you and said, nope, that's my husband. So does the music come first, or did he
yes.
get it? Yeah.
He was a musician, and that's how we met. He was singing, and I was dancing, and it was, you know, the fairy tale from there.
Right. Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. So he's going to be making music.
He will be singing a cappella.
Okay.
For one of the pieces.
A cappella. Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. And you also have several other, Kimberly O'Brien. What's
yes.
she going to be doing?
Kimberly will be narrating the piece. We have quotes and small poems that will be incorporated into the show. And I immediately reached out to Kim and said, you're the one.
Yes, she does that very well. And then I read Art Glenn Herman.
Yeah.
Where is the art going to be?
We are super excited. The final piece of the night, we have incorporated one of Glenn Herman's lights. So if you go by his Astoria Makers shop there, he has some beautiful woodcut lights.
I know his work. Okay, I didn't realize that's who it was. Yeah. Okay, and Astoria Makers is that big blue building that I keep talking about because the Astoria Visual Arts Gallery has the whole corner. Mm-hmm. It's on 10th and Duane.
Yeah.
So he is a part of that.
Yeah, we're excited. I stopped walking by and I just went in one day and said, I would like to use that.
You're good at this, yeah. aren't you? You.
Yeah.
Come with me. Okay. So, Julia, how long have you been dancing?
Since I was three.
Since you were three. Mm-hmm. Did you start with modern or ballet?
I started with tumbling.
Okay.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then?
And from there, I took ballet. And that was my primary training until I got into high school. And then I branched out from there.
And the choreography, where did that come in?
All the time.
Uh-huh.
Always doing it. I didn't get to really launch into that until I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. And this is what I want to do. I want to be creating and seeing and telling stories. And that's the passion for me, is getting to create and tell stories with your body.
Right. And then tell the stories with your body, create them mm-hmm. as well as tell them. Okay, how many dancers do you have then?
The company has four dancers, mm-hmm. but there's three in the show because our newest member came 2 weeks ago. So it was too late.
Right, right.
But
do you happen to have some twins in your group?
We have one of the twins.
One
of the Astoria Tango twins. Okay. Celeste is okay. Celeste Olivares.
Yeah.
And Annie Langan.
Okay.
Are the other two dancers in the show.
Okay, nice. Okay, folks, this is very exciting. It is happening January 10th and 11th. That's a week from tonight and tomorrow night. And it's at 7:15. The Tradition, at 10:15 commercial at the new 10:15 Theater. So this is the, it's a debut for your dance company, Sparrow Dance Company. Where did that name come from, by the way? I like it.
Yeah, it was the sparrow is actually a bird that is known to be on all seven continents. And I just feel like a dance is a language for yes. all the continents.
Yes.
And I just thought, how perfect. You yeah. know, I don't want to limit on what dance can do.
Nice. So. Universal for sure.
Yeah.
It's also the debut performance at the 10:15 Theater.
Yeah.
So very exciting. Is there somewhere people need to get tickets, or at the door, or is there a website? We don't talk prices, but.
At the door.
At the door.
Yeah.
Okay. And Do you have a website yet?
We have a Facebook.
What is
and just... that is Sparrow Dance Company Astoria.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, a big congratulations to you.
Thank you. This
is very exciting. My guest, Julia Gingrich, the artistic director, choreographer, and dancer for the Sparrow Dance Company. Thanks.
Thank you.
I really look forward to seeing this and many more performances.
Yeah.
So wonderful. Okay. Anything else you want people to know?
Just be ready to feel emotion. We want our dance to project emotion into you and enjoy the different stories we want to tell.
Great. Thanks. Do you teach, by the way?
I do teach.
At AAMC?
At the Astoria
Arts and Movement Center.
On Monday.
On Monday.
Modern Mondays, I call it.
Okay. And that is a fabulous, that's right above the theater and wonderful floor. And there's all kinds of movement, dance, and other kinds of movement, including the Tango Twins, which is tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And Marco and, of course, Jessamine. Lots and lots of good stuff. Okay. Thanks so much,
Julia.
Thank
you, Carol.
And I have a piece of music. I wanted to send the show out to the new year, also to some special people, a couple of birthdays, local birthdays, Lena and Chuck, coming up on the 6th. The 6th is also a day that we, many of us, hold people in our hearts who died on that date, and Reb Aryeh Hirschfeld and Carol Fenton. And here's a beautiful song from the Brownsmead Flats, who have a concert this Sunday, 2 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center. Thanks for being here, folks. KMUN Astoria.
There's a house on a hill with a porch and a swing, and we sit and we watch the world go by. Gentle breeze, restless leaves, eagles fly through the sky, and we sit and we watch the world go by. There's a house on a hill with a porch and a swing, and we sit and we watch the world go by. Now we doze, curled up close, swing and sway, lazy day. And we swing, and we watch the world go by. There's a house on a hill with a porch and a swing, and we sit, and we watch the world go by. Scarlet sun, day is done. Stars shine bright, fill the night. And we kiss, we have watched the world go by. There's a house on a hill with a porch and a swing. And we sit and we watch the world go by.
We've been watching the world go by. And friends leaving us, new people being born. So I send that out to Carol, all of the family, extended family as well, and to Reb Aryeh and the Pnei Or family, and also Rabbi Stamfer, who left us last week. And while we're at it, let's send some healing wishes out to our beloved Maggie and Joan and Josh and Hope's brother, and healing of whatever sort, and to Mama from the Urban. Well, I've got three live ones here right now, three very live musicians, and they're putting on a show. Well, not here right this second, although that works too, but they are putting on a show this Sunday, 2 o'clock. Now, does that sound familiar? I'm afraid so, folks. We've got two fabulous concerts happening this Sunday at 2 o'clock. You probably need to choose, or you might try to do what some of us do, which is to catch them both. Mm-hmm. But it could be a little tricky. So I have Kim Angeles. Hello, Kim.
Hello, Carol.
And Shelley Loring.
Hello, Carol.
Hey, hey. And Jennifer Goodenberger.
Hello, Carol.
Wait, I feel like Shanghai in the story. Hello, hello, Mama.
Hello.
Oh, and there are four women in the room. It could be the four sisters. These three women have been playing music, each one of them individually, plus with lots of other people in lots of different styles. And they've also played with each other in kind of, I'm not sure, different configurations. Have you ever, all three of you, done a concert together?
Not a full concert.
No. A couple years ago, we played two pieces together for a Christmas Eve service. But this is our first concert together.
That's fantastic. Is it harder to do? Because I know that Shelley and Jennifer have done a number of Solstice concerts. Mm-hmm. And I know that Jennifer and Kim have been playing together recently. I should tell folks who aren't familiar, two of these people, by the way, are current and or former KMUN programmers. One of them is not.
Yeah. Someday. I really would like to.
There you go. That was Shelley. But Kim has a show
today.
Oh, really? You're on this evening?
Yes, okay. I am.
Maybe they'll join you then. Kim does world music at 6 o'clock, and it's a wonderful show. She usually takes you on a trip somewhere. And Jennifer used to do classical music programming, mm-hmm. and who knows?
I think about getting back into it again. You know, it could happen.
That's a start. That's a start. But meanwhile, they've all been very busy creating and or playing their own music and the music of many others. So the concert is happening at the First Presbyterian Church this Sunday at 2 p.m. And just for logistics, tell us the best entrance, because I think we figured out there were five entrances to the First Presbyterian Church. And that's partly, I think you told me this, right, Jennifer? That's because...
Well, it's several buildings combined. Too, and as the building progressed in its building and all of that. So focus on 11th Street.
Okay. Get as close.
And yellow. Focus on 11th Street and Yellow.
Yellow is the building.
So it's the two doors that are on 11th Street, in the yellow part of the building.
Wow.
One of those yellow doors on is also on Grand and 11th. But there's another door on Grand. Don't go to that one.
I love
go to the one on 11th Street and yellow.
This is like a treasure hunt. Now, that I never heard before. You didn't even tell me that. I love it. Okay, yellow and 11th. So,
yeah. And it is in the sanctuary. Yes. Did we say that?
It's going, yeah, yes. And, which is gorgeous. It's going to be a beautiful
concert.
And
there's a new piano in the sanctuary, which is one of the reasons we're doing it there, is they have... The church acquired a Fandrick and Sons, which is not a real popular brand, but it's actually one of my favorite types of pianos.
Jennifer is the piano player. Shelley, flute, and Kim, violin. Three extraordinary instruments played by extraordinary women. So how new is the piano? I mean, how new?
It's the church acquired it this like in August or so.
Wow.
The piano itself is about 10 or 15 years old, but it's a wonderful instrument.
Wow. So you were ready to get your hands on that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how the concert's going to work? Are you going to be playing separately as well as together?
Yes, we are. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
How?
Well, Jennifer devised a really smart program. Uh-huh. We start out playing all together. Then we start with me. I think it's me doing a couple, or is it Shelley doing a couple? But we alternate.
We alternate. And then the three of us will intermittently come back together. Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
But Jennifer has it in a perfect rhythm, I think.
Yes.
Nice.
I'm also playing on virtually all the pieces.
Oh, you are. Yeah.
I don't get a break.
She doesn't get a break.
So that's why she's the one who arranged it. She had to figure out, when can I take one where I don't have quite as much to do?
Yes, actually.
Yeah, it's serious. Of course.
So one bit of a break.
Shelley's doing a solo... Bach for flute, and Kim also has some rather magnificent cadenzas, solo parts in some of the pieces, so I get little breaks there.
Can you tell us what a cadenza is, please?
A cadenza is where the instrumentalist shows off.
Okay.
All by themselves.
Okay.
Just trying to play the most fiery, technically difficult thing they can possibly play. That's
nice.
A cadenza.
Yeah. I did not know that. That's exciting. That can be on any instrument.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, terrific. Okay. See what you learn on this show, whether you're the host or the audience. So I'm seeing Bach and Foray and Kim Angelus. Oh, you're right in there with Bach and... Oh, and then there's Celtic Tunes.
Of course.
With Jennifer. Yes. Okay, before we go on, I want to put on a little bit of music. This is Kim's piece from the album Passages called Eagles. And is that right? You're going to be playing that at the concert?
We are going to be playing that, and it will be exactly the same arrangement as what's on the CD.
Kind of verbatim.
We were discussing that. If that's appropriate to use with music or not.
Yeah, well, if anybody knows whether that makes sense, let us know. Here's some music from Kim Angelus. So this is all original on this album. Yeah. Thank you. Oh boy, there she goes. She's taking off. I can see. This is called The Eagle. She's taking off in flight. That's an original piece by Kim Angelis from her brand new album. This is a 2019 release. Mm-hmm. Wow. And this album was, when was the last time you put out an album?
2011.
Mm-hmm. So this was quite an achievement.
Actually over 8 years.
Yeah, and many life changes.
Many
life changes.
So I recorded the other one in 2010. Mm-hmm. Didn't release it until 2011. So
right. Mm. Yeah, but it's a gorgeous album. And will you folks have albums to sell while you're there? Okay, good. Okay, so now that piece is going to be played.
Oh, yes.
So that means, Jennifer, you have learned the piece.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I did not play on the recording. No. Shirley and I did not play on the recording.
Even more fun, you know, having to learn it afterwards. And how much of the music do you find, if you... Okay, let me back up. Kim, you wrote this piece. Did you write all of the voices?
Yes, I did. Okay. I wrote them all out. And the pianist in Los Angeles added things to the piano part, which is fine with me. It was great. Absolutely great. But I did write a piano part, and I did write a flute part.
You did write a flute part.
I did.
Because I'm looking. Oh, there it is. There is a flute and clarinet, so, mm-hmm. right. So, Shelley, had you been challenged with learning Kim's work before, or charged with learning? I know you and Jennifer played together many times. So.
Well, we did actually, was it, I think, 2 years ago, we did play Eagles at, not Grace, First Pres.
Oh,
First Presbyterian Church.
Right.
And I think that was when Kim, was that when you first wrote the flute part?
I wrote the flute part specifically for that Christmas Eve, and I didn't make a copy. I left it with Shelley, and then it was time to record. So
and she had to go to Los Angeles.
I had to track her down, Shelley down. Do you still have that flute part? Please, please, please. She had it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And that was just like a day or two before I left for the studio.
Yeah. Was that intentional trust or was that no?
I don't know what it was.
Just not realizing, holy crap.
Why didn't I make a copy? Right. I don't know.
Right. So it was... written for several other instruments as well.
But it was written for Shelley, actually. That flute part really was written for Shelley. It was just logistically...
Wonderful.
It would have been impossible to take them to L.A. and give them lodging and everything. So that.
So Shelley,
the part was written for her.
You play... Are you still playing with the North Coast Symphonic Band or one of the small groups? Or
I play with a few different groups and sort of intermittently.
And you play at the Bridgewater.
At the Bridgewater. I play with Equinox, which is Dave Drury and Todd Peterson.
Right, which is more jazz.
And I love playing all kinds of music.
Yeah. That well,
there's that old saying, which I hope isn't true, but... what is it? Something about dilettante of all, master of none or something. I don't know. I can't remember.
Jack of all trades, master of none?
Yeah. But I do enjoy playing a lot of different kinds of music. Mm-hmm. And so I just...
That's great to have this opportunity to have three fabulous musicians. And Jennifer has done all kinds of things, including writing scripts to go with, I think you've stopped doing Clara Schumann now.
Correct. I'm no longer playing her music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we did love it because we, again, had the opportunity to learn a lot. Mm-hmm. Mostly you're playing your own original music now.
No. Mm-hmm.
And that also is in different genres because you do Celtic music as well. So what do I have lined up here, the romance?
So
what is that?
I chose this one because Shelley and I had played romance in on concerts of ours together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was originally written as a solo piano piece, and then Shelley liked it so much that we adapted it and played mm-hmm. it with flute and piano, and then Kim heard it, and she really liked it, and so we started doing it with violin and piano, and then it's like, wow, maybe I can adapt it yet again, and nice. And so I wrote and changed it a little bit so that it's all three of us. Mm-hmm. The recording is just solo piano, though.
Okay, and I'm going to start it, but I want to just keep ask you something else, because I know that in some of the Eastern European music, the violin and the clarinet, for example, often play the same part. Mm-hmm. They play for each other because the clarinet's a little louder than the violin or something. So did you have similar part and then you separated it out?
I did, because it felt like being a romance, although it was more a romance in the literature sense than as a love affair, but when I wrote the piece and called it romance. But it almost feels like a conversation, that there are these lines that kind of can go back and forth between each other, so I exploited that when I, you know, Shelley will play a, you know, few measures, and then Kim will play like an answer and back and forth.
Lovely.
And then other times I wrote another line on top to create harmony. So
great. Sounds like that needs to get recorded. I hope someone's going to record the concert.
Well, we haven't worked on that yet.
I'm just thinking about it.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can, well, and if you don't like the way it works, nobody has to know. But if you do, I think it would be wonderful to have that. So, okay, let's remind people, and then we've got the music on. This, what you're hearing, is from Jennifer Goodenberger's album Sonnet, Poetry for Solo Piano, and the piece is Romance, and this is from no year.
Oh, 14, you know,
okay,
2014, something
okay.
like that.
And Jennifer is also a visual artist, so you can see her work in many different manifestations. Okay, folks, the concert is called Winter Serenade. It's happening this Sunday at 2 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church at 11th Street. The yellow part of the building is the entrance. And if you get lost, just find where everyone is going and follow them, and you will be able to attend this gorgeous concert.
And can I just mention, just in case any of my students are listening, the concert is in the sanctuary, not in the upstairs where we do our student recitals.
Okay,
so I wouldn't want someone to get lost and go, well, I don't see anyone. I guess it's not happening.
This building goes on and on forever. It goes all the way to Harrison, between Grand and Harrison. So find the right place and come early, so in case you do get lost, you're able to find it. Winter Serenade, a concert to honor the many moods of winter, with Kim Angelis on violin, Shelley Loring on flute, and Jennifer Goodenberger on piano. Thank you so much for coming in. Thanks for all the beautiful music. And again, tune in this evening at 6 o'clock and you'll catch Kim with a very different kind of music. Yes, okay. It's a surprise.
Thank you.
Music from my next guest. One of my next guests, the one who's the musician. I have two guests here, and this came about. I have a big thank you to Issa, who came back in the co-op to let me know that there was something going on in town that I didn't know about. So I always appreciate that, folks, because you know how I like to be places, but I don't always know. So it turned out that this person I'd never heard of, who's sitting right here with me, August Waters.
Hello, yes, Waters.
Is that?
With two T's.
With two T's. Was going to be playing a concert and telling us a little bit about his instrument, about life, just talking in general, at Winecraft, which is one of our delightful small venues in town. It's at the foot of 10th Street, but you have to go down 11th Street to find it because 10th Street is closed. But we did find it, and the place was full of very happy people. And that's because August is a mandolinist and a composer, but he had with him an instrument, which I'm looking at right now as well. And I'm going to let him tell you about it. The amazing thing that happened in this tiny world of ours is that he mentioned that he and his wife are new, sort of, in town. They're kind of bi-coastal, as am I, except I'm permanent, impermanently permanent here. And they are still floating back and forth between the coasts. And when his wife got up, it turned out that she and I actually knew each other, except I don't think we'd ever met. But we knew each other because we have some very strong connections, and that is Nancy Horowitz. And the first giveaway was her name because it's a very unusual rendition of Horowitz. And I knew her mother. So the story goes on. I'm going to introduce Nancy as well. You can say hello.
Hello.
So people know you're real. But I would love to have August. You can tell us something about the instrument, or you can just play us something and then tell us. What do you think?
Well, my instrument is the mandocello. It's a mandolin family instrument. So it's tuned in fifths, but as you can hear, it's quite a bit lower than a mandolin.
Quite a bit bigger, too.
In fact, that's a low C. It's the same notes as a cello, a regular violoncello. So if we were here 100 years ago, we wouldn't be having this conversation because everyone would know this already. You know, there's the mandolin, and then there are the low mandolin instruments. This one is the one tuned like a cello.
So the mandolin orchestra in Portland, for example,
yes.
They have this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
In fact, there's one fellow that has one that looks very much like this, except it's a very nice antique Gibson.
Uh-huh.
You know, most people know the Gibson name through Gibson Guitar Company, but the original name of that company was the Gibson Mandolin Guitar Company, which gives you some idea of how popular the instrument was at that time. We're talking 1906, approximately.
In this country as well as in Europe?
Well, primarily in this country,
okay.
Yes. The Gibson-style instruments didn't really go much farther than America.
But the mandolin was very popular in Europe.
Very, very popular in Europe, in South America as well.
Okay.
Almost everywhere.
Right. And was the mandolin your first instrument as a child?
I would have to say the ukulele probably was my first instrument.
Which is interesting because nowadays, again, that's the first instrument of so many people. It's become quite popular.
Yes. I played guitar for a long time. Jazz guitar primarily.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up around American folk music as well, though. My parents were music teachers and classical musicians. And by studying the roots of the American mandolin, I came back to be interested in classical mandolin and folk music styles and jazz and early blues and all of those things that came before bluegrass, which is what we most commonly associate the mandolin with.
Well, why don't you play us something? And if you need to tell us anything about it, do otherwise.
Oh, what's to say?
Okay.
I recently released a book of original music for mandocello, so I'll just play.
Oh.
We don't have a lot of time to play a lot of pieces, so I'll just give you a couple of excerpts here.
Okay, sounds good.
You can hear the low tone of it. It's good for playing single notes and chords as well. You know, it's quite a nice chord.
Could you bow this instrument though?
No.
Not
successfully.
Okay.
So this instrument is used primarily as an accompaniment instrument to mandolin ensembles. However, if you go back to the period of time of popularity, great popularity and achievement of this instrument, we're talking 1880 to 1920, look at concert programs from the time, and you can see there was actually quite a bit of solo mandolin and solo mandocello music being performed. That today is almost completely lost.
Mm-hmm. So, because, you know, is there any reason things stop?
Oh, the banjo happened.
Oh, of course.
Well, the banjo came along in great popularity in the 1920s and pretty much replaced the mandolin at that point. But, you know, 20th century, the world was torn apart by war and twice. And a lot of intellectual property was lost, and among them being this great era of virtuoso mandolin music.
Interesting.
It came from the Italian Americans, the Italian immigrants to America.
Let's hear it. Let's hear something. And it's clear to me that you are a teacher because...
Oh, yes.
But let's hear some music, okay? Just want my audience to be sure.
Well, one more piece from the book very quickly. Okay. of course, with the mandocello, you have the frets, but you can still play cello music. You know, J.S. Bach wrote all of that wonderful music for cello, and it works pretty well here as well. And you know, people might know this one.
So if someone wanted to learn more, to perhaps find out more about your book, do you have a website or a, how to, you're not going to stay in Astoria very long, but you'll be back. I know.
Oh, yes. So, oh, yes. We are we're firmly rooted for the short amount of time we've been here.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we've been visiting for years, you know, so.
So if somebody wanted to get hold of you, what would be the best way?
Probably Facebook.
Under your name?
Under my name, okay. August Waters with two T's.
Right.
I also moderate a group called Exploring Classical Mandolin, which is actually the name of my previous book, 2015 on Berkeley Press. I taught at Berkeley College in Boston for 18 years.
Oh, my.
And it's going on 4 years ago now that I left and became a full-time musician like
Good
I was
you.
Before.
Yeah. Good
this is
you.
Why he sounds like a teacher.
Yeah.
He was a great teacher.
Well,
still is.
Wow. I've had a lot of opportunities to observe people learning and to think through the
process
of teaching and getting across and seeing how people learn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how you learn anything, right? By observing.
Well, is this your main instrument, then, the mandocello?
No, really, the mandolin is my main instrument.
Okay.
I've finished another book. You know, I'm basically a book author mostly now with my time when I'm not performing. And so I finished a book I've written for the last few years about its original music for the mandolin.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm waiting for the publisher to come back with that, I said, oh, I've got some time here, so let's write this mandocello book.
Uh-huh.
So the last few
nice.
The last few months have been pretty much focused here. And this book happened very quickly.
Wonderful.
The previous
Congratulations.
Book, thanks.
That's
the previous
great.
Book took me 3 or 4 years to write.
Yeah.
Well, and your new book is coming out with Hal Leonard, correct?
Yes, Hal Leonard
publisher.
In just
a couple publisher. Of months?
Yeah.
And that one is called New Solos for Classical Mandolin.
Very exciting.
The cello book is called Progressive Melodies for Mandocello.
So somebody could research that on, or to go to your your Facebook and get the names of these in case they...
Yeah, actually, that one is available. That one's one of those print-on-demand books on Amazon.
Nice.
So that one is easy
to get
We
don't mention that name on my show.
Oh.
We're all local and... and maybe you want to strum along. I want to introduce Nancy because you mentioned, August mentioned Italian music. Last night we learned a lot about how this international music situation, how things change and people watch each other. Well, we know that. We learn from one another, and it's always good to give credit to others. That doesn't always happen. Well, then I asked Nancy, so what do you do? And it turns out that she teaches Italian literature at Boston University. Did you meet over Italian, or what did you have? I mean, what was that?
No, we actually met at an acoustic music camp many, many, many years ago.
Oh, there you go. Did you play music as well?
Yeah, I do play a little guitar, a little upright bass. I sing. I actually teach beginning voice because it's just so much fun.
Okay, nice.
So we do have a musical connection between us.
So when you two are ready to come here for good, we'll be here with welcome arms.
Oh, thank you.
And the other thing that... Nancy Harowitz, that's H-A-double-R. Maybe that's how you met. August, double T, Nancy, double R. These are unusual spellings for their names.
That's great.
Yeah, but the S came between us.
Oh, cute. But Nancy also has published extensively on Holocaust survivor and writer Primo Levi. And so do you teach Holocaust literature?
Or? I do. I teach Holocaust studies at Boston
at
University
Boston? Yeah.
And have for the past 30 years or so.
Yeah.
We've actually started a program in Holocaust, Genocide, and Human Rights Studies.
Wow.
So I actually spent a lot of time teaching Holocaust studies and teaching Italian literature, which was my first love in the world of literature.
Right. Do you sometimes give just a single lecture on
yes.
this? Good.
In fact, I was invited to Phoenix just last month, well, 2 months ago, November, to give a talk at Chandler Community College on Primo Levi and to give a kind of big public lecture on Elie Wiesel and Primo Levi at another venue. And it was really a wonderful trip.
Yeah. Well,
a lot of people came.
Yeah, I'm sure. Of course. And I would love to get you talking here in our small community. And
I'd give a lecture
area.
Anytime. I'd be happy
that
to.
That would be okay, folks. You all heard that. We have witnessed. We actually
right.
have listeners on this show. We've got two artists here, and they are here right now, but only for another week or something.
But then we're coming back. I mean, we do actually now have a house in Astoria where my sister is living. So
excellent.
We'll be back in March during my spring break.
Excellent.
We'll be back in June for the summer. I may retire in a couple of years.
Good.
And then, we'll
then you
probably
can come
be
on out here.
A whole lot.
Right.
Yes, we do love it here.
And August, how did the concert last night at Winecraft come about?
I was looking for a way to introduce myself really to the community.
Good.
And there
good.
It was. A lovely place, view of the river, of course.
Yes.
And a nice listening room. So
yeah.
These days, my performing is mostly more formal concerts, but it feels really nice to have a little bit less formal place to go and be able to play.
Right.
And, you know, with the. It's not such a grand event, and it's a beautiful, comfortable place to be.
Right, and Rebecca is extremely generous with, as a matter of fact, this Tuesday night, folks, you can get yourselves over to Winecraft because we have Rick's Poetry open mic, and that's at 7 o'clock. Again, Winecraft is at the foot of 10th and the river, and you go to 11th and walk through Pier 11, and you can get there. Well, thank you both so much for coming in. You can continue to just sort of play along because I'm going to announce what else is happening. My guests, August Waters with two T's on mandocello and Nancy Horowitz with two R's on teaching and Italian literature and Holocaust studies. So thank you both so much. I'm delighted to meet you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And here's what else is happening.